coming up on TMS. Brown monkey chicken.
Under your clothes, everyone's nude.
I asked for more fish, and they gave me Phil Fish.
Ooh, body parts.
A viewing of President Taft.
Me, you, and Hasselhoff, too.
Abe Vigoda haunts us daily.
Wampas are basically Pokemon.
Jeff Garland is dreamy.
I'll say short, stocky men in tight trunks.
You can pee where you want to in North Carolina.
Barney and Grimace, together at last.
What does the fox know?
There are no good names for what you wear while swimming.
Making things with Bill.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Wampa! 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 Wampa!
New Tauntaun and Hoth Wampa and other action figures, each sold separately from Kenner's Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back collection.
Wampa!
It's my animality.
This is The Morning Stream. It puts the lotion in the basket.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. My wife just brought me... Thank you, dear. That was very nice. Where'd you go so fast? CVS, wow. So listen to this. This is how you know you got a real team player marriage going on.
Yeah.
These stupid pills I'm on, they give me, like, they slow your digestion. It's a long story. But as a result, I get heartburn kind of easy. And last night we had, what was it? Brown monkey chicken. What is it called? Butter chicken. Whatever it is. We had some curry. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Boy, howdy, does the curry give me the heartburn? So we were all
out. Yeah, I mean, that does normally.
Yeah. This is true. So we're all out of these, like, anti heartburny things. And so she ran over there to CVS and got me a value size pack of them.
Look at that. It's like the generic brand of Tums.
Yeah. That's basically it. And it's value sized from CVS Health. Compares to active ingredients in Tums.
Nice.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
Hey, that opening opening audio thing?
Yeah.
That kid clearly thinks that Wampas are a Pokemon character that just says its own name.
Yeah.
Like Groot.
Yeah.
Wampa! Wampa!
I may have done a little editing there, but...
Wampa!
Yeah, he's a... That kid's got it going on.
Wampa!
Anyway. Hey, wonder where he is today. So, sorry, we opened the show weird, but Kim showed up right when the show opened. Let's get into it, Brian. It's TMS. He's Brian. Yeah. I'm Scott. And we're going to do a little show here. It's Monday. Welcome back to the show, everybody. July 19th, 2021. Thank you for all the nice birthday wishes over the weekend. I had a lovely time. Except I think I caught a cold or something at the pool. And now I've got this, like, swollen little throaty thing right here.
Now, did you drink pool water at any point
during
your, like, doing laps? Like, do you do laps with your mouth wide open?
With mouth wide open. No, I went under a bunch, you know?
Sure.
Because you go under, and this is one of those pools that's not chlorinated. It uses the salt method, you know?
Oh, okay,
Interesting. The salt's supposed to be just as good or better and better for your skin and all that. I don't know if any of that's true. I just know I got in there. And, everyone else is fine, but I got the worst sore throat right here. It is killing me. And it's the only thing I've done that I could have been anywhere that had anything. I don't think it's a COVID-y thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe, for all I know.
Sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's not. Yeah.
I have no idea. But for now, it sucks. So, yeah, what a great morning. I wake up with a horrible sore throat, got a little bit of a cough, got these, the need for some antacid tablets, like some kind of old fart. Like, it's going great. It's going great. Thanks for asking, everyone.
Well, welcome to 52. It's going great. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Did you receive a package from me
over the weekend? I did. It's right here. I was going to tell everybody about it. Check this out. So.
Oh, you opened it prior to on air,
Yes, because
Scott.
I didn't realize. I opened it and went, this is awesome. What's this? I'm not even paying attention. Totally didn't even pay attention. But
Old man, Scott.
I'm going to open the box here, because once I saw the title, I went, oh, crap, this is from Brian. I shouldn't open this yet.
That's right.
I got from Brian for my birthday.
It's not a handmade WoW quilt.
No.
But
it'll do in a pinch.
Something, yeah.
So let me tell people what we got here. Dream Decoder. 60 cards to unlock your unconsciousness. Now, this seems prescient, given that I'm always having weird dreams and asking Brian to help me make sense of them. So let's open this for the first time.
By the way, let's compare your dreams to my dreams for a second. Normally, I tell you, it's like, I usually don't remember them. I had one last week that I actually remember.
Oh, Okay.
And there is no, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some weird significance to this, but it is a ridiculous dream, especially a ridiculous dream to have and one to remember.
Yeah.
I dreamed I was, I don't even know where I was, walking around somewhere, and I saw Jeff Garlin from Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Goldbergs.
Oh, I like him, yeah.
And he was all skinny.
Oh, geez.
And I went up to him. I said, dude, you look great. You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it? And he said, diet and exercise, my friend. Diet and exercise.
That was the dream?
And that's the extent of the dream.
I love your dream.
Why Jeff Garlin? Why my dream? My subconscious couldn't come up with a better answer for how Jeff Garlin lost all that weight.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
now,
you know, put that in your new cards and figure it out.
No kidding. That's the other. That's what I don't know if I'm
find the Jeff Garlin card and see it.
But like, here's an example. If you ever had a paralysis dream, Brian, where you couldn't move, that's happened to you. Okay.
No.
Maybe no. Okay.
No.
How about let me give you this one. How about being unprepared?
My dreams, I like to move it.
Oh, okay. You like to move it. How about being unprepared? Is that a thing you felt is unprepared?
Yes,
in your dream?
Okay. Being unprepared frequently.
Okay. Let me give you the lowdown here. So they've got an image on the card. It's a dude looking unprepared at a test or something.
Yeah. So he's not naked, which is usually where I am. I'm naked and unprepared.
Naked and unprepared is a terrible.
New reality show from Fox. Yep. Naked and unprepared.
Yep. Watch out. Coming this fall. So it says this. This is a top 10 dream.
Okay.
Being unprepared for an exam or important event or taking and failing a test suggests you are meeting. So, excuse me. You aren't meeting the standards you've set for yourself.
Mm.
It may appear in the dream that you're being judged by teachers, instructors, or interviewers, but in reality, it's just you judging yourself harshly. You may lack self-esteem as well as being worried that you are falling short of others' expectations. Your dreaming mind wants you to feel more confident and live life on your own terms. And so on. So I think that's what they're telling you there, Brian. That's what they're telling you.
I believe it. I believe it. I set very high standards for myself. So
now
they're impossible to meet. I'm a harsh boss.
You're a harsh boss. Me too. I'm the worst. Here we go. This is a fun one. Nudity. You're just talking about naked and unprepared.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. What does that mean?
Well, this is also a top 10. See if
it means you're very proud of your schwanz.
This lady. Lady showing a little.
Oh, it's a Venus. It's Venus on stage.
Yeah, she's got a little nipple.
It's Adobe Illustrator 2.3.
Yep. Yep, big time. And she's showing some nippy nip. Anyway,
oh.
Being naked or nude or partially clothed is a strong indicator of feeling vulnerable in your waking life.
Oh.
Perhaps you're hiding something for not being true to who you really are. You might feel anxious that others will see through your disguise. Or you might be trying to impress but afraid that you'll cause disappointment. The dream may be highlighted, or may be highlighting attention. On the one hand, you want to be completely honest and open with people. On the other, you're afraid that if you do reveal your true feelings or personality, you'll be ridiculed or exposed as a fraud. Nude.
Yep. Nude.
Anyway, these are awesome. I love them. They're great.
Let me know when you find divvying up Johnny Depp to feed to the UN or whatever it was that you had.
Right. Or your head on a chair. Like, what? No, I don't see these.
Right. Yes. My severed head on a chair talking.
They've got a lot in here, though. Wow. One of them is
good.
Cell phone, dreaming about cell phones. One of them is dreaming about icons for some reason.
Oh, social, icons.
Sorry. Like, social media. That's what it is. Social media.
Okay.
Deceased people visiting you, superhero powers.
I had this dream that I couldn't figure out what the Discord logo is supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, there is a disembodied. All right, let's try this one. Oh, body parts. Okay, that counts. So your head's a body part.
Yes.
All right, let's see what that is real fast here. Body parts are present. Body parts represent aspects of your personal identity and the clue to the meaning. And the clue to their meaning lies. Oh, meaning lies. Sorry. And the clue to their meaning lies in the associations you have with specific body parts. So you might
be... All right. So it was a head in my case.
Yeah, it says if you dream of teeth... Let's see. Skin, hair, nails. Trying to find head.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, I'm trying... And that's the cards, everybody. Enjoy. Enjoy that. So I'm going to put those over here. There's a little booklet with it, but I love this. And I love how it's all illustrated like a freaking airline escape.
I know. It does look like, yeah, like what to do in case of an emergency. Yeah. Throw a naked Venus on stage and
it's awesome.
Put your head between your legs.
Absolutely perfect as a gift. So thank you very much. That was very nice of you to do that. How did you find this? You searched for this or what? How did you?
No, we were in, of all places, we were in Pottery Barn and saw this on, was it Pottery Barn? Crate and Barrel.
Crate and Barrel. Sounds like a thing they'd have. Sure.
Yeah, we were in Crate and Barrel. We were looking for some glassware or something. I don't know. And I saw that and I said, oh, well, there's Scott's present right there. I mean, it was, it was like, a whole table full of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Of gifts, whatever. And I said, oh my God, there's Scott's present right there. And Tina's like, what? And she sees I'm looking at this table full of stuff and she's like scanning. Yeah, of course, it has to be that. Yeah, she figured out immediately it wasn't the decanter or the coffee creamer.
Sure. Not normally my jam, but this, totally my jam.
That's right. Whiskey rocks. No, it was none of that stuff.
So anytime we have dreams on the show and we got to discuss them, we'll address the cards and see if there's anything.
Perfect.
Matches.
Yes, exactly. Consult the cards. We need a music bit, like a harp playing.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Just TMS decodes your dreams.
In the year 2000. Remember that?
That might be a good one, too, for like on a Thursday when Wendy can't make it.
We'll just
tell us their dreams and we'll decode them.
Yeah, we'll just give people bad, terrible advice that day. That's a great idea.
Put all your money into your favorite Patreon.
Now, speaking of pools, so not only did I catch probably a little cold or whatever this is going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I also caught a glimpse of a man's wiener.
Oh, no. Hopefully this was in the locker room and not in the pool itself.
I wish. It was in the pool itself. Now, I didn't tell my kids.
No.
My kids were there. Two of my kids. Carter and Nick were there. Nick's girlfriend was there. Kim was there. And I was there. And I didn't tell anybody because, A, I wasn't 1,000% sure that I saw what I think I saw. But, B, I don't want to ruin everyone else's day. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just the reminder that everybody's floating around in there with their bits. You know, it's just great.
It's just a thin layer of cloth and maybe some mesh between you and other people's bits.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's a guy there, short, stocky man, with kind of tight trunks on, you know, swimming trunks, as they call them. I hate that term, trunks. It's so lame.
Trunks. Yeah. Ugh,
I don't like it. It's like,
well,
it's a horrible
name.
I
don't like bathing suit.
I don't like that either. Bathing. I don't like any of it. Like,
you're not bathing. It's not a bathing suit.
Swimming shorts.
Swimsuit.
My wife
or
calls them
board shorts or whatever.
Are there any good names? There are no good names. There aren't any.
Swimmers. Put on your swimmers. What do they say in the UK? I'm sure they've got or Australia. What do they say? There's got to be some better name that they call those things in another country.
A bathing costume.
Swim yeah, that's suit? True. Bathing costume, yeah.
I don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
Swimmy?
That's what swimmy?
My wife calls them swimmies. She does. She likes that. But I don't like that.
Smugglers. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's annoying. Aquatic drag.
Pool pants.
I like aquatic drag. That's really
cool. Kazi. Now, there we go. Well, it's a little too close to...
Kazi.
Kazi. C-O-Z-Z-Y, like short for swimming costume, because Australians can't say presents. They have to say prezzies.
Oh.
Same number of syllables, but...
So what is Kazi short for then?
Costume.
Costume.
Swimming costume.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Okay. All right. I get it now.
Oh, it's a Scottish term?
Is it?
I'll bet you anything, Claire, they say it in Australia too, because that's not bad. Put on your Kazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marble bag. Just, I like that. So Cal Fab Lab. It's not bad. Banana hammock. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Oh, Bermudas. That's not
Bermudas
bad
are,
on
yeah.
Your Bermudas.
Yeah, but those are a certain kind of...
That's very specific.
Yeah, that's like just saying, a Speedo. You know what people mean when they say Speedo, even though it's a brand. But you know what they mean. It's a little tight little undie thing. Well, anyway, this guy's wearing not a Speedo, but not full-blown Bermudas, something in between. And I'm swimming over there, you know, taking... Mm-hmm. Just chilling, trying to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. And, actually, I think the cold thing was starting to come on, so I don't. Maybe I didn't get it at the place. Maybe I got it somewhere else.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm just kind of trying to enjoy myself. The sun's out. It's like 100 degrees, but it's later in the afternoon, and, you know, it's just, and there's not a ton of people there. It's kind of perfect conditions if you're going to go to a public pool.
Nice.
And I'm swimming along, and I glance over at this guy, and he's getting up and out of the pool. And as he does so, he's got, you know, the weight of the water pulls, you know, kind of down on you. So
yeah,
you got to, like, hike him up a little bit, you know, get a little coin slot going there. And so you got to pull him up. And he does this thing where I've seen women do it, where they take your two thumbs and you go up the side, around the front, pull out, and then snap.
Hoist it up. Yeah.
Like a whoosh. And he did this. And he did it at such an angle that I caught a three-quarter view of his man wiener, and I don't like that I saw it.
So you didn't see, you couldn't tell if he was circumcised or not, but you were certainly able to see the connection to the waist.
Yeah, we saw the President Taft, if you know what I'm saying.
There you go. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was in there, and it was not great.
Now who's the we in this? Kim
me.
Too?
I should say just me. Yeah, I'm the only one. Oh, I didn't even tell Kim about it. I didn't even tell Kim because I was just like
me and my eyes.
My first thought was, should I tell Kim? Should I tell Carter? No. My first thought was, should I save this and tell the story on TMS?
Right. Why tell them when you can tell everybody and they'll hear about it that way?
Exactly. Now, made a lovely weekend. That happened. I got to hang out with some old friends we haven't seen forever for a little birthday brunch thing yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Riley and Lauren, we love them. They're great. We haven't seen them in a year. And it was great just seeing people doing all this fun stuff. But I know for a fact, I'm not the only one that had a decent weekend. Brian had all sorts of fun. So, Brian, what'd you do?
I did. Well, let's talk first about who I got to see this weekend. The Valentines. JJ and Renee and the Valen twins, Maya and Zoe, were in town visiting friends. And we had a chance to catch up with them yesterday. Took them out to dinner in Golden and walked around. And
their kids are so old now. Their kids grew up, man. I don't like it.
Oh, my God. They're rambunctious, and they are as adorable. I think the only other time I've seen them, I think, was really shortly after they were born at when we were in Atlanta for Dragon Con, and I saw them there. Yeah. So that tells you how long it's been since I've seen,
the
kids.
These girls are old now. But,
they're old now, and God, they have the cutest hair. Like, they've got the hair that just goes out and everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're running around. They're climbing all over everything, and just had such a great time. So great to see all of them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
So that was cool. And then the rest of the weekend was all Pokey all the time. Basically, this was Pokefest. It's the 5-year anniversary of Pokemon Go's release.
Oh, weird.
And every year they do this thing called Pokefest. It's been in Chicago. I've been to it once when it was in Chicago. And the last couple of years, of course, it's been reformatted for the pandemic. Mm. And basically, it's just like a Pokemon dropping all over the place. You buy a ticket. And that gives you spawns that everybody else doesn't get. It's like a $5 ticket. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And so you get these, you get spawns all over the place, increased rates of shiny Pokemon, new Pokemon that haven't been released yet. It was a blast. A whole quest chain that you have to complete. So Tina and I went downtown. Our plan was take the train downtown, walk around all downtown, because they actually did have some Pokefest stuff going on. Oh, I should text you this photo we took. It's kind of cool.
All right.
They had a whole bunch of stuff going on downtown, and
and this is everywhere, right? Like all where, like every city had a thing, or was it?
No, about maybe a dozen cities around the world had it.
Okay.
And there you go. I just texted you a photo. Dozen different cities around the world had like cutouts and paintings and places where you could get visors and postcards and fans and things like that. And and then you just kind of walk around. Like, they've got all the Pokestops are all lured up, so they're attracting more Pokemon. You're turning on your incense, so you're attracting more Pokemon that way. We get, you know, between Tina and I, we probably got a dozen shinies that we didn't have before, and I don't know. It was a blast. It was a really good time. Everybody's playing, having a really good time out there. And then you have the people who are seeing all these weird Pikachu visors all over the place and saying, I think it's that people are playing that old Pokemon Go game. Do people still play that? Yeah. That is the most common phrase. Oh, is that still a thing? Wow. Do people still play that game?
Yeah, they sure as hell do, turns out.
Yeah, turns out they do. Still 5 million active daily players or something.
That's pretty good.
So it was great. We had a really good time. And then the plan was that we would take the train back, shower, change, and then go out for a mystery date. I had a mystery date planned for Tina. She didn't know what it was, still doesn't know what it is. Because after dinner, we're walking to the car, getting ready to drive to this mystery date, which I wish I could say on the show, but she listens, so there I can't
right,
say
you can't
it.
Do that. Yeah. Can't get that
I'll have
away.
To wait until it happens. Sure. But I get a call from the person who runs it, and she says, "Oh yeah, the person who is running your thing tonight is actually on her way to the hospital. She's going to be fine, but she's just in a lot of pain, and so she's taking herself to the hospital. Whoa. So we're gonna have to postpone your thing.
Dang, dude,
your plan. It's like, oh man, that stinks. But it worked out because we still had a really nice dinner. Went to a place called Sushi Rama.
Ooh.
I thought this might be a chain, but it's only just a local chain. There are three restaurants, and I've told you about my favorite ramen place in town, which is a place called Osaka Ramen. Mm-hmm. We learned that this is a sushi place owned by the same chef, and it's a sister restaurant. There are three locations in town, but it's basically a really long conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And the chefs are in the back making all different kinds of Pokemon, making all different kinds of sushi.
Yeah.
And putting it on different colored plates.
Yeah.
And so what happens is they come down the conveyor belt, and the first plate has a little sign on it that says, California roll or spider roll or caterpillar roll. And then following it are three or four relatively clear dome covered sushi plates, same color. And you just grab one of those, take the dome off. That keeps people from breathing on your sushi. It also keeps things kind of cool.
Yeah.
And at the very end, they count up your red plates and your green plates and your blue plates and your orange plates and charge you the appropriate amount.
That's great.
It's cool because you get to try things that you normally wouldn't try because you see what it looks like. It's like, oh, that looks really good. I'm going to try that, even though it's, you know, flounder tongue or whatever.
Right.
And it was great. It was really, really good.
That's a cool way to do that, to handle the, it's different. I've never had a sushi place do that before, and that's really cool.
Yeah, so
do you ever have it just get all clogged up with stuff nobody wanted? Like the conveyor belt's just full of shit nobody would eat?
Yes, the only thing that we saw that made it around a second time, like everybody was snatching stuff off this conveyor belt. And it's funny because 3/4 of the conveyor belt's path goes in front of people who are sitting bar style directly in front of it, so everybody can reach out and grab it.
Right.
But they also have two or three large tables that seat like six, but only the people on the end can reach the plates. So you're sitting there with your friends and you're saying, oh no, grab me that one. No, no, grab that one. Grab that. No, it just went by. Damn it. Oh no, get this one. You know, you're basically relying on two people to grab all the food for you. And I'm wondering if when you pay your tab, shouldn't you tip the people in your group who sat there and fed all the rest of you by grabbing all those plates?
Yeah, like who's the tipper or who's the tippee in this case? That's
right,
crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I saw that actually made it around for a second time and probably even a third were just the cucumber rolls. It's basically seaweed rice and cucumbers in just a roll. I can't remember what that's called, but it's like moso maki or something like that.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted any of that.
Yeah, who wants
basically
that?
It's basically all that is a way to get your wasabi soaked soy sauce into your mouth.
Yeah that sounds right. Well, I'm jealous. I'd love a good new sushi thing.
You know, one of these days, Scott, you're going to come out to Colorado.
Yeah.
I think the balance, the scales of who's visited who in their own city is heavily weighted on your side. We need to get you out to Colorado, and I'll take you there into the to the tiki bar place, and there's some great stuff out here.
Forget about the sushi in Green River. I'm going all the way.
Yeah, just go all the way to
We're
Colorado.
All the way to Colorado.
Sushirama.
I got to see my aunt eventually anyway, so.
Exactly. Your aunt misses you.
My aunt, my three cousins, their families, all those people. I never see them anymore.
No.
Well, all right then. This has been a great catching up over our weekends. And, you know, we were supposed to do Film Sack. We had a bit of an emergency come up, so we had to delay it. For those wondering where the hell Film Sack
admitted went. It was your birthday, Scott. You just didn't want to talk about Vin Diesel on your birthday.
Well,
I get it.
Who does? I mean, even if you're family, familia, as you would remind me.
That's right. Film Sack is familia.
Indeed. But don't worry, it'll happen this week, and Fast and the Furious is still on the table. So still going to happen. All right, I'm going
to
call
it. Now I have to watch it a second time. Thanks.
I might too. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I'm going to forget a lot of this. I better watch it again. All right. Incoming this. Whoops. Hold on. I can't find it. Okay. Where the hell is it? All right. Welcome our old pal Brian Dunaway to the program. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi.
Hello, Brian.
I know you're...
How was your week?
Oh, it was fine. How was your week?
It is starting off okay.
Yeah.
Who's ready for some video game excellence?
Oh, I am.
And Scott Johnson.
Yeah, today at 3:30. I'm excited. The Boop Show. Back, baby.
I know. Last week, Monday just didn't happen at all. Didn't happen here. Didn't happen there.
Yeah, Monday was a mess.
But now we're back.
Yep, we're back. And that'll be today at 3:30. So don't forget to check that out. Anyway, it's
and
good
excuse
to have you here.
My nasally sounding voice going thing.
Oh,
we're on it.
Well, what happened to your voice? What's going on? You got
that voice? I don't know. You don't hear it. It's all like, I'm having trouble talking.
Oh,
you sound completely fine.
You sound
probably
great.
That post nasal drip
that all the kids are talking about.
Yeah, kids are into it.
So good.
Hey, I had a friend. I was telling Brian, I went to lunch with my old friend Riley, awesome dude. And, he travels a lot for his work, and he was just in Greenville, like last week. Yeah,
week.
He goes, man, that place is gorgeous. I want to move there, he says.
Yeah.
So, take that, I guess, everybody.
Yeah, Greenville is a great place. Now, Greenville's right a row from where I live. I live in another place that starts with the green. Mm. But anyway, yes, we go up to Greenville quite often, and it is a wonderful uptown area, and there's also like this really long walking path that this winds through this river area and all these beautiful trees. It's a gorgeous area.
Sounds lovely.
Expensive cost of living, though, as you would expect.
Yeah, Tally in the chat says, I don't want to live in North Carolina because I'm not allowed to pee there. This is South Carolina. You can pee there. Pee in South Carolina.
I think you can pee wherever you want to. Yeah. I don't think it's against the law to do that, right?
Well, unless I don't know what the South
You just
do
have
with
to use a certain
stuff.
Bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's going on.
All that crap. Yeah. All that crap.
Yeah, the American South, not always friendly to the trans
Now, remember,
folks.
The places that I love in North Carolina are artsy, and those people are a little more open-minded.
Oh, yeah.
But
they want
some,
you to.
There's definitely some conservative people in North Carolina that, know.
They want. There's some that'll let you pee on them, you know? Right on them. Like, pee on them. Brian, welcome back. So we're going to do this little Battle Royale business. Brian, you're going to explain what's up because I guess we're asking a nerd questions this week. So let's
do this. We are, It's welcome to What's Your Nerd. I've interviewed a member of the Tadpole and asked them 10 questions in a subject in which they consider themselves nerdy. Here's the change. You guys, I think I want to have you work together.
Oh.
You're going to take turns predicting. No, you're going to work together and predict whether or not our guest will get those questions correct. If you get 5 or more correct, our call-in TMS player will get a prize.
Oh.
Instead of them having to choose whether or not you guys get it, they actually get to listen in and help and contribute to your answers. So do we have a player, Scott?
We have to have, no matter what, we have to have a player, don't we?
Yeah, on this one we have to have a player.
I'm sorry, my brain's farted.
Sorry. No, that's all right. I'm changing things around a little bit. Well, this one we've always needed a player.
Yeah, we've always had a person on, but in my head
Squirm
it's like,
is the only one. Squirm's the only one where we don't need a live player.
I think that's what threw me. All right, so chat room, sorry about that. Whoever tried to call in, do call again, because the thing's up. It's ready to go. We can take
call now in. Again.
Yeah, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462, and I'll take the first caller we get. It just takes one. And we wait, and we sit, and we think.
While we do that, Scott, I was just noticing, I'm about to walk away from my computer screen because I don't want to see anything. Yeah. But I noticed that in the stream, you got this wonderful background.
Oh, do
this
I?
This pixel art background.
Oh, yeah. In the rear.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, what is that? Where'd you get that from? That is awesome. Give me it.
There's a whole bunch. I have a ton of these. They're just full page, like, almost like you could, like in a fighting game, like the background that the fighters would have. I have a ton of these. I use one of them for the Boop Show as well.
The Boop, yeah, I love the one on the Boop Show, but I haven't seen this one. It's fantastic. It's
Sigan cool. says that it keeps going to voicemail.
Oh, I got some, now. I got somebody
as does
here.
Talia. Well, I'm saying it's going to be.
Well, that's because we have a caller. You dinguses. Hey, who's this?
Oh, okay.
This is David from New York. Hey, want to be in the chat room?
Hey, what's going on, David from New York? Nice to have you here. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
David, what'd you say your chat room name is?
The same day as yours on Saturday.
Oh, you had your birthday? Dude.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Yeah, we had your birthday.
Yeah, me and you and Hasselhoff, too. That's great.
Yeah.
Me and you and Hasselhoff.
What was your nickname in the chat again?
Quantum Feline.
Quantum Feline.
Oh, Quantum Feline. Okay, cool. Yeah.
We know that name.
That's a cool name.
You totally know that
name. Well, welcome to the thing. Brian's going to explain how your part in this goes, Brian.
That's right. So, as I mentioned, Scott and Brandon are going to be working together to predict whether or not our nerd gets their questions right. You get to help chime in as well. If you think that the direction they're going is incorrect, then you can chime in and say, no, I think they're going to get this question wrong. And if Scott and Brian get five or more of these correct, you win the prize, and the prize includes Kingdom 2 Crowns and WWE 2K Battlegrounds on Steam, courtesy of Wesley.
Wow, look at that. Wesley!
Crowns is addicting. It is great. Side-scrolling
really?
Fun. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, building. That is good. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a good one. I played something similar to it recently on the Boop Show, and I enjoyed it as well and compared it to it.
And if you're like, hey, I also like some wrestling, then the other game will do fine as well.
Yeah, WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Yeah, I mean, that's some... That's some hot side-scrolling wrestling action.
Wrestling.
Yeah. I don't know if it's side-scrolling. I'm kidding. It probably isn't.
You can probably go to the side.
All right, so let's start playing What's Your Nerd. Let's find out who our special guest is for this edition of What's Your Nerd.
This is Jack Fox.
Hello, Jack Fox. Jack, let's talk about what is your nerd? What is your specialty? What are you an expert in?
Apparently Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yes. Oh, that's good, because that's what I have on the sheet here. So fortunately, that's what I'm going to be asking you about. You're a big fan of the game series?
I'm a big fan of everything. The game series, the music, the books, you name it.
All right. Well, let's wish Scott and Brian luck. And with that, we'll get into your questions. All right, so I need to turn it up a little bit, which I will do.
Right.
There you go.
Wow, we're having all kinds of... You guys seen all the controversy recently about the creator of Five Nights at Freddy's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I haven't. No, what's going on?
Okay, okay.
He's just a little bit of a wing dinger.
He's a hothead. Really? Yeah. It's kind of like he should live in North Carolina. I'm just saying.
He should move in with Notch. He should go share his house with Notch.
That kind of is that. All right.
Put it that way.
Okay. All right. So I've got 10 questions here that I've asked Jack Fox about Five Nights at Freddy's. By the way, got to give a huge round of thanks to Bronco, Jeff Sire, up there in Canada. He stepped in and wrote these questions for me.
Wow.
And
fantastic.
Might actually be able to be my permanent question guy going forward if he's up for it. But he did such a great job with these that I'm thinking of hiring him as my question guy.
Nice.
Because I don't have time to write all these, to be honest. I don't know how, I've seen what Jeff does up there, and I don't know how he has time either.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, he's Canadian. Anyway. They know how to take their time up there.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So let's get to question number one. I asked Jack, what time in the game does the shift end? You know, there's a shift in the game, and what time does it end? Do you guys know, first of all?
I have no idea.
I used to know this. Wait a minute. Let me think. I can see the... God, I played the start of this game like
David,
one
do you, do you
times.
Know anything about the timer?
Yeah, I think it's... I played a few of the game. I think it's 6 a.m.
6 a.m.?
The shift end.
All right.
That sounds right.
That is correct. Now, here's the question. Do we think that...
Yeah.
I think somebody who... says that they're an expert in this game probably knows it. All right. Yeah,
if you play, you're desperately waiting for 6 a.m. So.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
All right. You guys say 6 a.m. or you guys say Jack is going to get this right.
I think he'll get it right.
Let's hear how he did.
6 a.m.
That is correct. You got it right. All right.
Literally.
1 point for David.
Nice.
Quantum Feline. I asked him, what else comes out of the music box after Marionette? So there's a music box in the game. The Marionette comes out of it, which is probably bad. I don't know. I've never played it. But then after Marionette comes out of the music box, something else comes out of it. And did Jack
Fox know this, but it seems like it's one of the monsters that kills you. So he probably knows what kills you.
Yeah, if he's like super hardcore, I can't imagine he's going to be wrong about this one either, because that's a key to the game is who's killing you and when. So,
yeah.
Okay. You agree? Not that it matters. You do? Okay. I mean, it matters.
Not that it matters.
No, you know what I mean. That's not what I mean.
He was asking you, Brian, if you agree. Oh, not sorry. That it matters.
Yeah.
All right. You guys say that Jack knows this one. Let's see what. By the way, the answer is naked endoskeleton.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Let's see if Jack knows this.
What else comes out of the music box? Oh. That's a good question, because I don't think I've ever actually let the music box open.
Nice.
Oh, you're too good at the game.
The puppet will come out and kill you.
Right.
My best guess is Shadow Bonnie?
That's not correct. Naked endoskeleton. Basically, that's a... In the game, that's something you don't want to have happen is the music box to open.
Yeah, I guess he's too good.
Correct. If you do, you lost the night. Gotcha. And yeah, Endo probably could come out of that. That's the name of the endoskeleton.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. What is a naked endoskeleton? Isn't that
just an endoskeleton?
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, there's robots inside the suits, like robot skeletons.
So it'd be the skeleton. Right, it would be the naked robot, like a naked Chuck E. Cheese without
take all those fuzzy parts off and you're left with something really hard.
Yeah, you got like a Terminator under there, kind of.
Totally makes sense. All right, that totally makes sense. We got that one wrong. That's all right. We'll go to this one. I asked Jack, I said, all right, the first four games are called Five Nights at Freddy's, 2, 3, or 4, you know, just plain, and then 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
I asked him if he could name any four of the next six named sequels. Did you even know there were six sequels past?
I knew there were a lot,
four?
But
so
I didn't know
ten,
there were six. That's
ten
a lot.
Different Freddy's games.
Yeah, more than I would have guessed if you asked me. Yeah.
So did Jack know any four of the next six?
It seems like I'm trying to think. All right, if you're really into your own game series, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And let's say Zelda. You're super into all the Legend of Zelda games. You probably know the names because you're going to have favorites and stuff, right? So if you're that hardcore of a fan, I would think you would know.
Okay. All right.
Scott's opinion.
Scott says that. David, Brian, you guys agree?
I think you have to at least know the names if you play them all. Or at least be able to remember four of the six.
Like, I think he's going to whiff
one or two obscure ones.
Dunaway thinks he's going to whiff? Really?
Yeah. All right, we'll see. Right. By the way, the answers are Five Nights at Freddy's Sister Location, Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria Simulator, Ultimate Custom Night. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? The Pizzeria Simulator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's all weird, but that was
different. Yeah, these are all weird. Ultimate Custom Night, Help Wanted, which I think is one I can get on Oculus, so that might be the first one I ever play. Special Delivery and Security Breach. Let's hear how Jack did.
Okay, let's see. Are there even six games?
Ah, shit.
We have FNAF World, Sister Location, Pizzeria Simulator, Help Wanted, Security Breach, Fury's Rage.
Look at that.
Look at that. We did it.
The other two that I have are Ultimate Custom Night and Special Delivery. Are those?
Oh, I did forget about Special. I did forget those two.
Okay, cool. That's all right. Still got four out of the six, so so we're good. We're still good. That's okay. Two out of the five. You need to get a prize. I asked Jack, what did the animatronics do to you if you fail the night? Do you guys know what they do to you if you fail the night?
Yeah, they stuff you in a suit.
Do they?
Yeah.
They turn you into a robotic suit. Yeah.
I've never played one of these games.
I know. See, I would assume is they make you eat the pizza, which is horrible.
All right.
Now, do we think that Jack would know that answer?
I mean, probably.
I think if I know it, Jack would know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's common.
All right. Let's see if Jack knows it. You say he does.
They stuff you in a suit.
Yeah. Correct.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. That's 3 points. Right. Let's keep on.
But did they make you get naked? Is the question.
Naked robot?
I don't know. Yeah. Put on a naked endoskeleton. Mm-hmm. All right. I asked Jack, who are the two purple guys? Thank you, Jeff, for that question.
Yeah.
Who are the two purple guys? I would have said
Barney and
Grimace.
Ray. Grimace, yeah. Barney and Grimace together at last.
How about you, David? You've been knowing a lot of these. Do you know who the two purple guys are?
If they're just saying which are the two purple characters, like I don't know that I don't know the purple guys as like a term, but like there are a couple purple like robots. Mm-hmm. So maybe he might, if that's what they're referring to, but I would say yes. They're probably just like, I think purple and maybe another one later on, but
yeah.
If there's specifically the two purple guys, like the lone gunman or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll bet he knows because I don't know. That feels again, it feels key to the game.
Pretty soon. Yeah. Okay, all right. Let's see. By the way, it's William Afton and his son Michael Afton is the answer. Mm. I guess they're owners of the place, or I don't know. All right, here we go.
That would be Michael Afton and his, sorry, William Afton and his son, Michael Afton.
That's exactly. Nailed it.
Nailed it word for word to what I had as the answer. So,
wow.
Nicely done.
Good for them. All right. So that's four. I asked Jack, game creator Scott Cawthorn, who I guess is a bit of a douche, has stated that which animatronic scares him the most?
Oh, we're going to get emails about that.
Oh, really?
I mean, whatever. We
he
always
specifically
do.
Saying that, or
no, he's just got political.
Political donator
ideologies
to write
different than everybody.
Right people.
Yeah, gotcha. Someone will email me. All right.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah,
hater.
Bring it on. Bring it on, everybody. Send Scott emails.
Send it to me. Don't even hit Scott or Brian up. Hit it. Send it right to me.
Right to Brian. Okay. So.
Yeah. Do we think that? The Jack knows
the only thing that scares him.
Yeah, so like actually scares him.
So this guy said before, the only thing in my game that scares me. Okay.
Yeah, the creator of the game says, "Oh yeah, there's one animatronic in this game that scares me." So it's actually not something in the game; it's something kind of alongside the game. Do we think that that Jack knows that?
It's probably come from an interview or something, and maybe if you haven't read that particular interview. You wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's where my gut goes. Don't know whether you agree, disagree.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough one.
Yeah, I'll say he doesn't know.
Okay, all right. We say no.
This is one of the questions I knew you'd ask.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay. Yeah.
He has stated that he is afraid of Bonnie the most, particularly when he's wearing a blue polo and khaki slacks.
Wow.
Is that true?
Wow. Oh, no. That again. That means I have to use this soon enough that people get that reference.
I was just listening to it 2 seconds ago.
Yes, right out of that BuzzFeed quiz that we got about blue polos and khaki slacks. Yeah. No, we got that wrong. Actually, Jack kind of predicted that we would ask him that question. So,
damn it.
Hmm.
All right.
So still
sitting at four. I need one more to win. I asked, what body part is Chica missing in Freddy's 2, in Five Nights at Freddy's 2?
This is so foreign to me.
No, it seems so specific, right?
I mean, I got to take Jeff. Is Jeff a player?
It's part of the second game.
Is it? Well, okay. So if the question even exists, it means something prominent's missing from this dude. Right.
I think it's later. So like the robots are falling apart, kind of thing.
Right.
So like he's missing an arm or an eye or something. And it's only the second game, and they're pretty. There's not as many robots, so I think maybe yes.
If they lost all their body parts in game two, it'd be really hard to bring them back for game three.
No kidding. I don't know. Terminator found a way.
But I think even said it, David. You said hands. And that
I'm not even going to deny Jack his come up. He's getting this one. He's got it.
You think Jack's getting this?
Yeah, Jack's proven to me that he is the ultimate Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, we're pro Jack here for sure.
All right. Okay. Saying Jack gets this. Here we go.
She is missing her beak, I believe.
Oh, that's not what I have. I have hands.
No. Oh, damn.
Of course I have hands, but I have hands as the answer.
Frick.
Yeah, hands or arms,
Oh, the greatest disappointment.
Wait, did it say body part or parts?
Part.
Okay.
But
hands or parts?
All right, Jeff wrote body part singular, but then he wrote the answer as hands plural. Yeah, that's some Canadian thing.
Canadian weed, man. Canadian weed.
They mix plurals and singulars all the time up in Canada.
Yeah, let's cast stones in the Canadians.
The whole country. Yeah. All right. Question eight. I asked Jack, how much does Mike Schmidt earn at the end of Five Nights at Freddy's, the first game? So basically, if you make it through the game, I think you get your pay. I think.
Is Mike Schmidt the protagonist of the series?
I guess.
Yeah, I think he's the protagonist.
Okay.
Right. I remember it's like just like some paltry amount. You're like $150 for like a week of.
That's not
almost dying.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty prominent. Like you have a little pay stub on the screen at the end. And I think it's a joke. It's a joke how little you're being paid. I feel like that's something you know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because mine and Jack's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, mine and Jack's relationship has just been a roller coaster this whole episode. I really don't even know where to go at this point.
Yeah. I feel like,
and I'll say the answer is $120 because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if you guys know the answer,
right?
Right.
I mean, to me, if he wins a lot, and it sounds like he does, doesn't even open the music box, for example, that kind of stuff. Like he's got strategies, min max in this game. I think he would know this.
All right.
So
all right, let's.
I hope so.
So you're saying he knows it. Let's hear how he did.
Lord on high.
We're going deep. We're going really deep with this.
Oh, I'm gonna have to guess on this one.
Shit.
It's not a good amount. I think it's something like $127.90.
Oh my god, so close. 120 is what I have on my
damn it. Oh my god.
Frick.
All right. So we're still sitting at four answers correct.
That sucks.
All right. I asked now. Jeff had no idea who I was asking these questions to, right? I just said, I've got somebody who says that they're an expert on Five Nights at Freddy's. So he asked the question, what animal is Mangle? The character Mangle?
Hmm.
Now,
the
answer is a fox. Did Jack Fox know?
His own namesake.
His own namesake.
Now, I knew that because I've got Mangle slippers that I bought from GameStop.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love them. That's fantastic. Amazing.
Are you wearing them now? Like right now?
I wish.
Yeah. I feel you, dude. I mean,
Jack Fox know the answer is Fox is the question on this one.
Yeah, I know it, too. I haven't played the game she's in, so...
So she's not in all of them, huh? Not from first
on? No, she's like the first fox. There's a fox in the first game, and this is like the female fox. They added it later on. Okay. So.
I'm going to say yeah, but I don't know. What do you guys think? I feel like he should know that. Not just because of his name.
I'm starting to doubt now, but I think that's one of the easier ones.
Yeah.
That I think he would know.
And the fact that his name is Fox, I don't think makes that big of a difference. Like, it does. I mean, it kind of seems like it does, but also if it's a main character... You kind of know what animals they are. I don't know. Right. Like, here's the bear, here's the fox, here's the guy with his tiny cocks. You know what I'm saying?
What? What?
I may have...
You said the endoskeleton was named Endo, so...
Yeah, exactly. I may have had
don't
Tourette's...
Don't worry. We'll all hear that again in a Jamie mashup, everybody. Yeah.
I may have had some Tourette's poetry there for a second. I don't know what happened there.
All right, so you guys are saying that Jack knows this one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if he knows it's a fox.
Please.
Originally a fox.
I would hope you would get that one correct.
That's what I meant to push.
Yes, that's five. That is a win.
Yeah! Woo!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That means you get these games. Oh, Dave, great. how does it feel, man, to pull
that
one?
Good. I've been trying to get on this show all pandemic, and I'm finally gone.
No, oh, that's cool. Fantastic.
Oh, very cool.
Great.
Yeah, well, you came in at the perfect time, right, when numbers are going back up. Nice work.
I'll still be working from home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. All you got to do is send an email to Brian Coverville@gmail.com, and he will send you your winnings. Congratulations and well done. You guys, we did it again. We helped somebody walk away with some games, and they're happier now for it. Dunaway.
Big thanks, by the way, also going out to Jack Fox for Jack Fox. Such a good contestant for this. We'll do more of these. I like this new style of having you guys all work together to get the contestants some points.
It feels good.
It feels
good to share it.
It does feel good to share in both the win and the loss if it happens. And also, thanks again to Jeff's Sires, who never loses a beak but always has his hands. Well done. Dunaway, today, 3:30, me and you, let's do it. Let's do the Boop Show. Let's have the fun we have and leave people wondering how great we are. that's today at 3:30. Yes, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, I have foxy slippers. I thought it was Mangle. I got that wrong. That's the girl. Once you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, they're both foxy.
Five Nights at Freddy's slippers.
Yeah. I post them in the Discord. They're fantastic. They flop around.
Take a look at these.
They anger the cats.
Oh yeah, I've seen that thing before. Cool. Oh. I need to play this game. I need to just get it on Oculus and play it.
Do you though? Do you?
I mean, I do. I feel like I do.
Do you
I
like, feel like scary? Do you like scary games? Are you into the?
I've never played one, so I don't know.
Well, I think you'll
like it.
Okay.
I think you'll like it.
Well,
give it a try.
Okay, I will. I'll give it a shot.
If nothing else, at least when you go see all the merch out and about, you can go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's come up on trivia nights every once in a while. And fortunately, it's just enough to where I can say, oh, yeah, that's Five Nights at Freddy's and blah, blah, blah. So
very nice. Hey, small video game trivia. You guys know Phil Fish, who made the game Fez?
Yes.
Heard that name before. Kind of a controversial character name in dev circles. Anyway, really interesting documentary about that guy floating around out there. Anyway, his name is Phil Fish. He made Fez, amazing game. I didn't know that Phil Fish is the exact same name as Abe Vigoda's character on Barney Miller.
Oh, really?
Oh, I never put that together.
His name is Phil Fish.
First name?
Yeah, Phil Fish. I'm like, that's crazy. Wow. I know. I was watching Barney Miller and went, what the frick? His name's Phil Fish? He made Fez.
It's almost like you asked for more fish.
Yeah, and they didn't give me more fish. They actually gave me more fish.
Were you sitting there? Did you say that out loud? Were you watching Barney Miller and you said, freaking Fred Fish, and you just
said
it out loud?
I did. I was the only one that heard it, but I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened to or watched a bunch of old Barney Miller episodes, which, by the way, that show holds up. It's all right. It's pretty good.
Really?
What's the quiet one? The kind of the
that's Abe Vigoda. That's Phil Fish.
No, not the old guy.
No, it's like Wojciechowicz.
Oh, the Hawaiian Japanese actor.
The big. He's like a big dude.
He's kind of big teddy bear. He's kind of like just a little.
Oh, I wouldn't call him quiet.
Wojo.
Yeah, Wojo. He's not quiet.
Wojo.
Yeah. He, I wouldn't call him quiet. He's just dumb. He plays dumb. He's basically.
I wouldn't call him quiet. He's just dumb.
He is dumb. He's always making dumb comments and getting confused, and everybody, you know, He doesn't understand common language. Yeah, he's good though. He's that guy's still around. Most of these guys are. Bernie Miller is still around, yeah. And that guy looks cool in his old age.
He does look cool. Yeah, he's and he still has that mustache. Like Tom Selleck, got rid of the mustache for a little while. Not Barney Miller.
Locked in.
His
upper lip must be terrible. Yep. It must be, mangled.
And Bishop was in that from Firefly. I can't think of the actor's name.
Yes.
He was great in there. They were all good. They were all good. Mm-hmm. They were really good.
Oh, Ron Glass.
Yeah, Ron Glass. He did Ron pass Glass? Away. Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately. But most of that cast is still alive, except Dave Vigoda, who haunts us every day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dunaway, see you at 3:30. Anything else you'd like to say to the fine folks at home?
No, I mean, we've done the Boob Show. We're going to do the Fast and the Furious this weekend on FilmSack.
Yep.
And I'm not looking forward to it still.
I know.
But I've watched it.
Yeah. But you're not looking forward to it. I actually had more fun than I expected. I had a good time with it. So I'm kind of excited to talk about it.
Yeah, this is the first time I'd seen it, and I kind of enjoyed it also.
It's also a lot better than 2, which we have seen. And 2 is bad. 2 is...
You think it's better than 2?
Oh, way better than 2.
I had more fun with 2.
I hate 2. 2 is garbage. 2 is where the series should have ended had they not had the guts to try some other stuff.
Yeah. 2 is garbage, but I think I had more fun.
Tokyo Drift is amazing. Everything after that's fine. But... Two is a zit on your bum hole. We'll see you later. Bye. All right. Let's. Oh gosh, it's 10:04. We gotta take a break.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's do that. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be here with Bill and Steven and all that fun stuff. So stick around for that. Brian, please play a song.
Yeah, this is actually an indie in the middle that is directly related to what we just did. This was a recommendation from Jack Fox, and got in touch with Aviators and got this on the show. This is Aviators from their album Stargazers with a song that I think is related. There's so much music out there related to Five Nights at Freddy's. This is Sweet Dreams by Aviators.
The noise outside the door, it's just a phantom, nothing more. No need to give yourself a scare. When you glance and no one's there, I don't wanna have to hurt you. Not your fault, I felt this rage. Just a child about your age. But something drives me to this place. I can see him in your face. You'll never know the hell I've seen. Don't fear what's come. We can fight off the urge inside. It's dark and you're afraid of the devils that come out at night. Let's make this easy. Soon your heart, these beats, you hate it. No need for sleep tonight. Sweet dreams are overrated. Of your own mind. Blink your eyes once and you'll find I'm just a ghost inside your head. Don't fear your fate that soon arrives. It's a deadly lullaby. You'll be with us very soon. Another spirit in the room. Take your place among the lost. Don't fear what's come. We can fight off the urge inside. It's dark and you're afraid of the devils that come out at night. Let's make this easy. Soon your heart, these beasts, you hate it. No need for sleep tonight. Sweet dreams are overrated. inside the suits we live in. Don't fail me, together we'll have sweet dreams forever.
Doctors' waiting rooms may soon be empty with advanced new medical apps being developed to help people diagnose and treat themselves. We're joined now by the Oracle on Everything, Kitty Flanagan. Now, Kitty, should I be worried about my job?
Well, if you keep calling me Clitty, you should, yeah.
It's a trap, Lou. Leave.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. That's an awesome clip. I love it so much.
That's really funny. Kitty, look at Kitty. Yeah, I like, should I be worried about my job? Directly relates. I thought he just came up with that quickly because he called her Clitty, but it was related to the story.
Yeah, it was really about funny. That. It's like, am I not going to be able to, you know, this is medical show. And then she's like, well, if you keep calling me that, you won't have a job. It's amazing. Amazing. All right, we're back, everybody.
I'm currently in a boat.
Yep. time to call Bill, who's been out of town for a couple of weeks, but he's back.
Yeah,
he had went and saw some family in upper state New York, and we'll ask him about that in a second. But first, this. Where is it? This.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
I just watched that episode last night. Hey, it's Bill Duran, everybody, joining us from back in Seattle, Washington, after a whirlwind trip across the country. Bill, hello and welcome back. Well, I don't hear him.
Bill.
I think you're muted, Bill. Oh, you know what? Bill. I added him to the wrong call.
Oh, he's not answering.
Yeah,
oh,
I added him to the wrong thing. Gosh dang it. Oops. That was me. Hold on.
He now sees the slippers that Brian Dunaway owns, so that's good.
Well, he did see them. Now he doesn't. Bill, hi. That's really you now. Hi, Bill. Bill, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I screwed up there. It's good to have you back. How was your trip? How was New York?
It was fabulous. I got to spend a whole lot of time with my family, with Brittany's family, and we had a really great time. It was fabulous. Got to hang out with my nephews.
Nice.
Ages between 3 and 6.
I was going to say.
And my nieces between age 6 and 9.
Oh, my gosh.
So Uncle there's a lot of children. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It's good being Uncle Bill, right? It's fun.
It is.
Yeah. Because you can hang out, be a good time and everything, and then when you leave, they can go, you know, barf or stay up all night or do whatever kids do, and you don't have to worry about it.
And it's not your responsibility,
That is correct. Yeah,
exactly. And you're an Uncle Bill, like Family Affair. Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, I brought all the toys. I brought RC boats, so that's something that their dads need to deal with now. Mm. Batteries and recharging and all that.
Yeah.
But the kids had a lot of fun with Uncle Bill and Aunt Britt. So nice. That's what really matters.
My favorite, for a long time, I performed as a DJ as RC Boats. It was a long time ago, though, and I don't like to think about it. It's a dark time.
Real quick, I have someone here who wants to yell hi at the microphone.
Oh, okay. Ready?
Can't hear you guys, but hi.
Hi, who is that?
That's April.
Oh, April Ness.
Oh, April. It's Viking Ness.
Yeah, I was following her haircut deal yesterday, or makeup or something she was having done yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, she.
Oh, my God. We miss her so much.
Yeah, she's awesome. Oh,
she is. April's the best.
She is the best.
She's the best. Yeah. Yes.
All right, you had a question for me.
Oh, I did. Yeah, check this out. So, Bill, you may have been gone for 2 weeks, but it didn't stop people from wanting to know stuff. So we're going to start today with a question from Matt, who wrote in and said, Hey, Bill, he says, quick question and possibly a larger discussion topic. I'm fairly new to resin casting. Your 101 videos have been incredibly helpful. Thanks for those. I've started trying to label my molds with stuff like resin volume, date made, etc. But it turns out that even though some things do right on silicone, none of them stick around for very long. Do you have a go-to marker for writing on silicone? Additionally, do you have any organization/storage tips for keeping a mold library? Thanks, Matt. Boy, you forget sometimes how those molds start to take up space. But let's start with the first question. How do you keep that stuff straight and organize them with, you know, a material that doesn't hold, you know, markers for the most part?
Sure. So what's great about silicone is that nothing sticks to it.
Yeah.
So it's great for making molds. However, nothing sticks to it, so it's hard to write on it.
Yeah.
Silicone mold maintenance and a mold library is definitely something that I've thought a lot about because I have hundreds of molds that I've made. I actually keep a list. I have a digital list I keep on my computer to track all of my molds, to keep track of all of them, where they are. Sometimes I let people borrow the molds, and I want to know where they are so I can get them back.
Sure.
I also want to know, you know, how many pulls I've made from a certain mold, so how many castings I've made, when, like, the date the mold was created, how many copies of the mold I've made. Sometimes if I'm making a lot of, like, when I did a Kickstarter, I need to make more molds than, or more castings than one mold would survive, so I made several copies of the mold. So I track all of that digitally. Like on a spreadsheet.
What's the lifespan of an average mold?
So it depends on the silicone that you use, and it depends on how complex the mold is. A mold with very small details that might be kind of deep are more likely to tear. So whereas a much shallower mold with very shallow relief will probably last a really long time. Mm. With the tin cure silicone I use with a very basic mold, I could get maybe 50 pulls out of it, but I've had other ones where I maybe got 20 out before the mold blew up. It'll just start tearing.
Now
what happens with the silicone is you pour that resin in there, it gets hot. Most of the resins we use are exothermic, so they give off heat when they cure. That heat heats up the silicone, it pulls moisture out of it, and eventually makes the silicone a lot less pliable, and that's when it'll start to tear.
Sure.
And there's not a lot you can do about that. If a mold just starts to wear out, it's once it's at end of life, then it's time to make a new mold. On the mold itself, I have not found anything that you can write on a mold or a piece of silicone that'll stay.
So if I took a big old fat Sharpie and tried to write on the side of this pink one I'm looking at on this website, that's not going to hold. It's not going to stay there.
No, it'll stay there. You can wipe it off with your finger. Even if you let it dry overnight, you can just wipe it out right off with your finger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, most molds I make have like some sort of rigid jacket or a box or a couple of planks on either side that are used to clamp the mold closed. Mm-hmm. That's where I'll write on some information with a Sharpie. Usually, I keep track of how many pulls I've made. And I also write down the volume, like the email was saying. Write down how much resin goes in there so that you don't have to check all the time. I also sometimes, especially if I have like a so for example, my Blade Runner gun, it's 30 molds. It's 30 pieces.
Whoa.
It's a lot of molds.
Jeez.
Some of them are really tiny. So I have a separate sheet where I keep track of all of the different volumes each of those molds use. And then that sheet of paper just lives in a box with the rest of those molds so that whenever I have to do a casting, I pull out all these tiny molds and a list that just tells me exactly how much resin to mix up for each one of them. That's super, super handy because a lot of times I'll throw a mold on a shelf and not use it for a couple of years. And then I got to use it again for something. And opening that box and seeing a list that past me left behind to help me is so rewarding.
Oh, isn't
it? It feels really good.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I hate the feeling when I didn't, though. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I do this with file names and stuff with computer stuff in a very similar way. And when I've left myself a trail, I feel so good about it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I'm definitely getting better at as I get older.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, as you say, it's like the painting thing. I can't remember if it was you that was talking about this or somebody else, but when I'm painting minis, I find that perfect color and I don't make enough of it. Mm-hmm. And I need to paint a different part of the mini. It's like, okay, great. What was that combination of colors that I used to make that? So yeah, right, I totally get that.
And the opposite is you mix up way too much of that color and then you're like, all right, well, I'm keeping this color forever and I'll probably never use it again.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So now mold storage is another very important feature because like I said, frequently you'll use a mold and then stow it away for a couple of years. Now, silicone will develop, like, it has a bit of a memory. If you squish it and hold it squished, it'll stay squished a little bit. It doesn't bounce perfectly back. So when you're storing your molds, you don't want to, like, stack a bunch of stuff on top of them so that they get compressed. Because that'll deform the mold and it'll deform all your castings. And if it stays that way for a couple of years, that mold will stay permanently deformed.
Plus, won't they kind of moosh together? Like if you have them all mashed in the same place, they kind of join, right? Like the
I've never had that happen. Oh, but
okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe not. It's just like that material's like prone to, I don't know, just getting sticky with each other.
Right, right. Yeah. This is another big one. If you have a larger, like a two-part mold, so it's like a sandwich that you smush together and you clamp together and you pour all your resin in there, if you can store that open with the faces up, that'll keep parts of the mold from sagging. A lot of times, if you have a larger, bigger mold, if it's just stored with one half of it upside down, it'll sag a little bit. And again, it'll flex and stay that way. And then when you make castings, it'll have this weird, like, side of it will be pushed in or something because part of the mold was all sagging.
Yeah.
And covered. You don't want to let any dust or anything get on the surfaces of those molds.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. That seems like that would be bad. How come all the molds I see are, well, two things. They're almost always pink. Mm-hmm. And they're all almost always have these little balls to go into some matching notches on the other side. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So the pink is MoldMax 30, and that's just a brand and type of silicone that I like and I use a lot because it's really simple. Yeah. Color is smooth on color codes all their silicones, so you can look at the color and know exactly what it is. If it's a teal, I know it's MoldStar 15. If it's yellow, I know it's MoldMax 29 NV. So they color code everything, and it's super helpful because I can tell right away what it is. I forgot the other question.
The balls.
Oh, the little balls. The balls.
Yeah. That's easy.
Right. Those are registration marks. So you make those when you make the mold, and those get the two halves of the mold to lock together in the same position every time.
And that stuff holds up, process. Like it doesn't wear out. Well, I guess like the rest of the mold, it may wear out, but
yeah.
Those over
time, it will become less and less, locked perfectly together. Now, as you use the mold, like I said, it starts to dry out and you will start to see the seam get a lot more noticeable and the registration doesn't match perfectly. You can revitalize the molds a little bit. Just spray them with some of your mold release spray, let it sit for an hour or two, and then just sort of wipe it up and then store it that way. Yeah. That'll help you get probably a few more pulls out of your mold before it blows up. Eventually it'll wear out, and eventually you're just going to have to make another mold.
That takes you back. Okay, so your mold is made from what? You have like an original sculpture or whatever, right? What if those are in shit shape? You know what I mean? Like at some point, like you just have to make something new, I guess.
So the secret is the master, right? The master that you made your mold from, that must be maintained. If you got to make more, make sure the master stays in really good shape.
That's how the Sentinels in X-Men comics stay so good, is because of Master Mold.
Oh, is that it? Right. Master Mold? Got it.
Yeah, Master Mold.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
The last bit I have here, if your mold does start to rip or tear, or a part of it tears off, you can buy an adhesive. Smooth-Ons is called Silpoxy, to glue silicone parts back together. My experience has been that will not make a repair that is permanent. It'll help you get another casting or two, but if your mold starts to tear, it generally means that is it.
Yeah, that's like a Band-Aid, a short-term Band-Aid solution. Yep. You got to go do the real stuff after that. All right, well, this is great. I love this question. Mm-hmm. It's always good to hear that our listeners are getting in so deep that they have questions about this kind of minutia that you're dealing with. Anything else going on? You got a little linky for us? Anything cool?
I do. Crazy British man Colin Furze has been making a tunnel under his under his garage. So it's called Digging a Secret Tunnel over on YouTube. He's got I think 4 videos out now.
He's really preparing for the worst, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
It's great.
Oh my gosh.
He's got this is a massive undertaking, this tunnel. He has a bunker that he built underground his garden, and he's building a tunnel to connect the bunker to his shed. It's great.
I want this. That's amazing looking.
Yeah. Look, I still would rather have the bookcase that, you know, opens into a secret room than the floor thing, but
or a bookcase that leads to a secret tunnel.
There we go. Combine the two. Right. Yes. Yeah, far better. Yep.
So they actually dug this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your property, I guess. How deep can you go in your property and steal your property?
I don't know. Especially in Britain. I don't know if it's any different there or not. But
yeah.
Wow. I guess I'm a little blown away by this. Look, they took rebar out of it and everything. Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah. Go check out the rest of that and follow that progress if that sounds interesting to you, because it sure does to me. Digging a Secret Tunnel Part 1, Colin Furze, is it?
Furze.
F-U-R-Z-E.
Not to be confused with Colin Firth. Different person.
Totally different Firth. Bill, always good to have you back. I'm glad you had a great time, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye, Bill. Yep. All right. He's adopted the jury see ya sound, I've noticed.
Zip.
Yeah.
Zip.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. Just, you know, just what it is. All right. Hey, Steven Schleicher incoming. And how do I know?
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's our very own Steven Schleicher. He's not our very own. We own nothing. He is his own man.
We rent him, really.
Yeah. It's, he's on loan from majorspoilers.com in Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Bill. Hello, Steven. Hi. Bill's not here anymore.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, I got. Can I be controversial for a quick second?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, can we say no?
No. We talked. I think we may have mentioned a little bit last time, but I know it's controversial when anyone does anything with the Watchmen characters that isn't.
Oh, sure.
The original Watchmen comic, and. Yeah. You know, they're both, it's, you know, what's his name gets mad. Of course, he's mad at everything, but
Alan Moore,
but everybody else, like fans are like also kind of precious, you know, they're kind of precious about it. And I just want to tell you on the other end of what reading the entirety of that, watch clock countdown, shit, whatever the name is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. The crossover with DC and then the standalone, stuff set in the 70s for Rorschach. Loved it.
Rorschach is actually, a lot of people are very welcoming to the Rorschach series. Maybe not so much the clock.
Doomsday Clock. That's a Doomsday Clock.
Doomsday Clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanna kind of maybe get a different attitude on this, Scott, go and read the Before Watchmen series.
Mm.
That's, I'm sure it's on the Comixology or part of your unlimited service.
Yeah.
Because it's been out for a couple of years. It's not that good.
Oh really? Okay. That I didn't read. Doomsday Clock, I really enjoyed as an interesting kind of way of doing a crossover, but that Rorschach stuff is freaking great. They need to keep doing that, and they are. They have another series as well. It's like ongoing that I haven't checked out yet, but I thought the art was amazing. The story was gritty and awesome. They're doing that character right, and I'm here for it. It was great. So controversial or not,
More of that, please. I'd be fine with it. I don't even need anybody else. I don't need the rest of the Watchmen. I don't need any of that. Just give me more Rorschach comics. He's one of the great characters ever. It's amazing.
If you like Rorschach, then I suggest you go and check out, oh, now his name slipped my mind, Without the Face, The Question.
Oh, Question. Oh,
which is who Rorschach is based on. Yeah.
Question's awesome. It's they have a Black Label recent thing they did that I also read and really liked. So, yeah, like, I didn't realize he was based on The Question. That's interesting.
Yeah. In fact, all of the Watchmen characters are based on old Charlton comic characters that Alan Moore was like, when DC bought Charlton, he was like, well, I want to use all of these characters. I want to use Blue Beetle, and I want to use The Question, and I want to use, you know, Captain Atom, and I want to use all these characters. And DC was like, well, I think we've got plans for this. And so Alan Moore was like, okay, I'll just create my own original characters based on this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you guys stop publishing the book, all those characters will revert to me and I can do other things with them. And then DC, as we talked about before, was like, no, we're going to keep this in print continuously forever and not give you anything else, Alan Moore. And then he was like, I will do some black magics against you.
And did he do those black magics? I
have no idea. He's into magic and rituals. He and Grant Morrison both. They have magic wars with each other in the pages of comic books. Which is really interesting to go and, really? And check out. Huh. Yeah. So that. Like, I think, what was, Alan Moore's series, which is, there's a whole book that's nothing but a tone poem that is him casting a spell.
Oh, really?
I'll have to go and check and see what it was, but it was one of his imprints that he had like a decade ago.
All right. Well, maybe Zack Snyder was the spell. I don't know. There's one particular cover by Jim Lee, because Jim Lee will swoop in and, you know, draw still, even though he's editor at large or whatever he is now. Mm-hmm. He did this cover I'm showing in the chat room right now. It's so freaking good. I'd hang that on my wall, dude. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I've been all in.
I'm sure it would only cost you $20,000 to buy the original.
Yeah, it'd be no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah.
That's pocket
change. With all your podcasting money.
Yeah. All that money just flowing all the time, just falling out of my pants. Yeah. It'd be great.
Everybody knows podcasters are rich.
That's right. Hey, check this out. Hellboy miniseries on the way. What?
Uh-huh.
What?
I don't know really what you guys think of Hellboy. I know Brian is really into the Marvel Universe and Scott is kind of, you're really into the superhero and sometimes Western stuff. But I don't know what you guys think of Hellboy. Are you guys into the Hellboy comics?
Hellboy's awesome.
I've never read any of the comics. Obviously, I've seen the movies, but I've never read any of the comics.
Giant fan. Love it. It's one of my favorite things ever.
For Scott, maybe not so much for Brian, but Brian, I would really go recommend it. One of the nice things about Hellboy, it's like, what if all of these myths and legends and things that you hear about are real? And what if there was a summoned demon that the good guys got a hold of and he fights demons? Well, there's a new Hellboy series coming out. So you had Hellboy and then you had the BPRD, which is the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Development. And now they have a new series that's coming out from Mike Mignola and Chris Roberson called Hellboy, the Silver Lantern Club. So long before Professor Broom and Hellboy came along, there was a paranormal investigative society in Great Britain called the Silver Lantern Club. There have been two series already. One is The Witchfinder, and another one is a new one called the Sarah Jewell Chronicles, I want to say, where she's like a Elizabethan paranormal investigator. But this one will look at this group of people together and some of the antics that they and adventures that they had back in, like I said, in the pre-1900s.
And this is all Dark Horse again. They're still publishing.
Yeah, this is all Dark Horse. Okay. That is one nice thing Mike Mignola has really stuck with Dark Horse as far as publishing goes. You know, Dark Horse has had some ups and downs over the last decade, you know, getting a bunch of Disney comics, then losing a bunch of Disney comics to Marvel, then having the Conan series, then losing the Conan series to Marvel, then having Star Wars for decades, and then losing Star Wars to Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And Usagi Yojimbo has left Dark Horse and now is over at IDW Publishing. So, yeah, to see Hellboy still at Dark Horse is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, that seems good. And he's even his other stuff that isn't Hellboy, he keeps publishing there, which is...
Yeah, like The Witchfinder is really good. It's a really good series that, you know, basically it's set in the same universe as Hellboy. But if you're more into, like I said, the Elizabethan period and you want to look into the horrors of that time, then, you know, you want to look at The Witchfinder and Lord Baltimore and those books. Those are really, really good books to check out.
I like when they put period piece stuff in my comics. I really like the Marvel, what was that called? It was basically X-Men in the
1800s. Oh, 1609 or
something? Yeah, yeah. That was it. I loved that thing. Man, more of that.
That was an alternate universe what-if kind of tale.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I love when they mess That's around cool. like that. Very, very cool. And this Question comic I read was interesting because the dude kept getting thrown around to different timelines. And it was a little bit like Quantum Leap, except he didn't know he was jumping. And so he would settle in the Old West, but then suddenly be in the gritty 1940 Chicago, but then suddenly be in the future. And that was a trippy book, man.
Is that the Many Deaths of Vic Sage? I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yep. Okay. That's the one. It was very good. Liked it a great deal. All right. There's that. Also, speaking of the Blue Beetle, the Blue Beetle. The Booster Gold series launches this week from DC Comics. Ooh.
Yeah, Blue and Gold. Blue and Gold is the name of the series. This, for those of you who loved Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and their antics in the Blahaha era of the Justice League, we have Dan Juergens and Ryan Sook teaming for a new scheme for Booster Gold. You know, he's always one of these guys that he's from the 25th century and he comes back to the past because he thinks he's going to find his fame and fortune as an adventurer, but he's always like just D-list. Superhero, and he's always coming up with get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah.
And his latest one is, let's go to social media and have all sorts of, let's build up my cred on social media. And of course, he's going to enlist Blue Beetle, his best friend, Ted Kord, who is uber-rich. Yeah. He's about as rich as Bruce Wayne. And those two, you know, are going to get into trouble some way, shape, or form. So if you're looking for humor in your comics and you like the Blahaha era, then check out Blue and Gold. It's out this week from DC Comics. Actually, it's out tomorrow in digital over at Comixology.
Digital first. You just get it on, I wonder if it's on, they do a lot of day one stuff on Infinite. I don't know if that'll be there or not. But
I don't know if it will be, but definitely it's worth checking out.
Those two chuckleheads were, they were undead in the Deceased series.
Right.
And that was fun to watch those guys be undead because I kind of hate them both. Not that I wouldn't enjoy this comic, but both Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are kind of, they're dorks. And it was nice to see them dead.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Very nice. That sounds like a good time. And also, and Brian did talk about Pokemon Day. Did you do much with that?
Yes. My youngest is a huge Pokemon fan. And when we found out it was Pokemon Go Day, we spent several hours on Saturday driving around, going to different Pokestops so he could get all of his shinies and his legendaries and all those kinds of things. And then on Sunday, we went out again, but this time we were able to get the oldest child who is learning to drive. You know, he's got his restricted license, his learner's permit.
Yeah.
And so we had him drive all around. And I saw that there was a storm coming in, and I was like, oh, this will be good, because he hasn't driven in the rain really that
good
much
practice.
Yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're like 10 minutes from home, and it's like, severe thunderstorm warning approaching. This is a dangerous storm. And I'm like, well, I think he needs to have some experience driving in heavy rain.
Mm.
Oh, my God. This was a torrential downpour. That you're literally, at one point, I was like, I think you probably ought to just pull over for a moment to see if this rain lets up.
See if it passed.
And it wouldn't. This was the kind that with the streets, even the high streets, were flooded to the point where he was driving down the middle of the street with the emergency lights on, flashing so that we could get home. But he was like, after we got home, I was like, so what did you think of that? He's like, well, I'm really scared when it was happening, but I'm glad I knew how to. Now I know how to do it in the future.
No, it's a good experience to have. I wish I had more of that when I was younger, because I wasn't ready for it when I was, you know. We get, you know, pretty gnarly snow here in the winters. And I remember my first, like, snow-packed road time driving when I was 16 or something. That was a horrifying experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, really bad. Driving in snow.
I'll never forget this time. On my way home from school in my shitty Maverick, my Ford Maverick or whatever the hell it was called, that car is pigeon-toed. You could see the radial metal coming out of my tires. It was so bad.
God.
I'm riding this in the summer. I paid $200 for that car. It was a piece of crap. But I was going down this hill, and it was snowy, and I thought I could do it, but I couldn't. So I hit the brakes and slid just like a slide straight down toward this where this guy lives, ran over his cable box, and was able to see myself run over his cable box while through the window, seeing him on the couch watching TV. I got to see the TV go. It was amazing.
Oh, that's great.
And then I got the F out of there. hit and run, man. Anyway, well, there you go, guys.
Oh, yeah. You guys were talking Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is, I don't know how good of a movie it is. but there's a movie you guys might want to check out, maybe even for Film Sack.
Okay.
Stars everyone's favorite Nicolas Cage. It's called Willy's Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
it.
This
is basically a ripoff of Five Nights at Freddy's. But you guys, with Nicolas Cage and his highs and lows in acting,
yes,
you might want to go check out Willy's Wonderland. Just came out, I want to say, like a couple of months ago. Yeah. I guess it came back out in February.
Yeah, it's definitely this year.
It might be Film Sackable.
Yeah, look at this. This is that movie with no one else we know in it. Just Nicolas Cage. He's the only person with a name we recognize. I'm in, man. Like, why not? Look at this thing. Getting a 5.5 on IMDb. That's the perfect rating for a terrible movie. I'm in.
Yep. And Nicolas Cage. I mean, he's kind of an automatic in for Film Sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that new pig movie, Somebody Stole My Pig.
Yeah.
Everybody's raving
about how good his acting is in that.
So. Really? He does this thing where he'll flip. He'll just do something shitty, and then the next week you're like, "Oh, did you hear he's amazing in this new thing?" And
maybe it's not that he's a bad actor. Maybe it's he's just offered some really bad parts.
I think he just takes everything.
Oh yeah,
you know, almost everything he's offered, and you know what? Good for him. I think that's certainly a way to do it.
Wait, is he? He's officially Joe Exotic, and then. Joe Exotic.
No, that movie's been put on hold. Yeah, that movie's been put on hold anyway.
He's not going to do it because he doesn't feel like that character is relevant anymore.
I would agree with him. Here it is. A truffle hunter who lives alone in the Oregonian wilderness will return to his past in Portland in search of his beloved foraging pig after she's kidnapped. It's currently getting like killer reviews. All right, I'll see Pig. Let's do Pig. Let's watch Pig.
Pig. I think we need to watch this. I think we need to watch Willy's Wonderland. Oh, there he is, beating the tar out of a giant stork animatronic.
Good. Someone has to kill those things. May as well be Nick Cage. Yeah. Why not? Well, excellent. This has been really good today. And Steven, it's good to have you back. We'll be back here next week with more from Steven Schleicher. Anything going on the network you want people to know about?
Just, you know, we've got a bunch of shows. We've got an RPG Critical Hit. We've got our top five. This last week we did top five mystery movies. So if you're looking for some mystery movies to go check out, you can go listen to that one. And of course, we got the Major Spoilers podcast. This week we're talking about The Unwritten and a bunch of other things. So come check that out over at majorspoilers.com.
That sounds like a great idea. What about my water intake? You have any advice there?
I think you should also try to stay hydrated.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
But not with pool water.
No.
No, don't stay hydrated with pool water.
Especially not the salty stuff. Ew.
Blah. Yeah, you just hope that's salt.
Speaking of salt, we got a little bit of a mashup here. This is Jamie put this together. It's a Monday, full-blown Monday morning mashup, you guys, called Ringo's Ring. Don't remember the context, but we'll find out again when we listen to it now.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
No.
Get in there. Get the rim job they give you. It's good. Get in there. I feel it creeping up my bum. I'm not going to be like sucking on this thing every day or anything weird like that. Maybe there's some other way I could do CBD, like inject it in my bum or something that would make it work.
I love that you can see Colin Firth's nipples through his white shirt on his statue.
That's pretty hot.
Yes.
I may need a shower after this.
Wet and juicy, and they make noise when you eat them because otherwise they're in your lap.
Oh, yeah. It's a great big penis. Look at that thing.
Oh, yeah. It's almost full.
Yeah. Now open that cooler. All right. Get that Sprite out. Open the Sprite. Oh, tap the side.
Yeah, you get those donuts out. You snuck in. You're not supposed to take in there.
Professor Andrea Solanoli. Solania. Is that right?
Yeah, you totally got it. Absolutely. Okay.
Let's go with I don't remember the name. Smoochie? Poochie? Do you remember the name? Is it not Smoochie? Poochie? Scoochie.
Scoochie.
I don't remember.
Snoochie Boochies.
I'm calling my dog Scoochie. Poochie, he's got the, you know, he's got the butt worms.
It's like Moochie or Poochie or Scoochie or Bluchie. It's one of those Oochies.
Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Herr Peanut Bottom. Welcome to my basement.
They also shouldn't use the catchphrase, baby, you can drive my dong.
Baby, yeah, you probably, can drive my dong. Dun, 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 dun.
Octopus's Garden. I can't come up with anything for Octopus's Garden that would work for a penis ring. I'm stuck. I'm completely flummoxed by that one. Yellow Submarine. Got nothing. I've got nothing for Yellow Submarine that would go with penis ring.
Did he ever sing or write any song that wasn't kind of
Goodbye with a Little Help from My Friends? Okay, I got nothing.
That one's all right. Yeah, none of these fit. They just don't fit.
What would you do if I put on a ring? Would it add to the excitement and fun?
I get by with a little help from this ring. Oh, we had our fun with Ringo, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I forgot about that he was suing the penis ring manufacturer.
Yeah, for the Ringo. Yeah. Or the Ringo.
Ringo.
Yeah, that was it. All right, that brings us to a satisfying conclusion here on the show. If you would like to support the show, patreon.com/TMS. Everything else, including that, and details for everything, you can find at frogpants.com/TMS. And we'll be back tomorrow with another show. All week we got shows. So, you know, barreling through the end of July with all hands on deck here. I think that's everything. I just mentioned Boop. Everything. Yeah, we're good. You got anything going on today you want people to know about?
No, this is a work day, like a freelance work day. I did get on the bike though, finally, the first time since MS-150.
Oh, nice.
And how'd that go? I've gotten a little out of shape, a little out of practice, so I need to.
Doesn't take much, right? A couple weeks later and you're like, oh shoot.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh man, all right, got to build up that resistance and stamina and all that stuff again.
Sure. I would point people's squinties to Fred and Can today. There was a new Fred and Can posted last night. Fred got a weird haircut and coloring done, and Can's got concerns. So if you want to follow that new storyline, you can find it at fredandcan.com. And, Fred might be crazy. Let me just put it that way. He might be crazy. Okay? So good luck to him and his can. All right, we're going to take our leave. We need to go, but a song must be played, and Brian is the one to play it.
I am going to play it. This one goes out to Sean. So earlier we heard from David, who shared a birthday with you. Guess what? So does Sean.
What?
Says, since the start of TMS, I've considered requesting a song on my birthday, but I share that birthday with somebody very important in our community. This person has done so much for everyone listening to this. So if you will, please all join me in dedicating this song. Happy birthday, David Hasselhoff.
Yay. With a burger on the floor.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Burger. This is the Holophonics. This is what Sean wanted to hear. Holophonics, great ska band. They've been cranking out ska albums almost annually. This is from Volume 11, which came out in 2017. Here's their cover of Toto's Africa.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you soon.
Take some time to do the things we never gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Your boss does not like us much, eh? He thinks he's better than us, eh?
Eh?